KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning to you. I'm John Sepulveda. All politics this Monday morning. We're going to begin with a lowdown on what's been happening in Sacramento, specifically a plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions after the year 2020. It's a cap and trade plan. And to talk about that, we're joined by Marisa Lagos and Guy Marzorati of KQED's Politics and Government Desk. Good morning.
Hey, good John. Morning.
Guy, I want to start with you. Cap and trade. We know that this is one of the priorities of Governor Jerry Brown. Tell us very briefly what's in this bill.
Well, yeah, right now it is the top priority of Governor Jerry Brown. This is a bill that he put together with legislative leaders, definitely with input from the business community. It would extend the state's cap and trade system. That's one of the big tools California uses to cut down on greenhouse gases. And it's set for a final vote today in both the Senate and the Assembly. So he's been making his pitch last week, both privately with lawmakers and interest groups, and then publicly, as he made his pitch last week in the Senate Environmental Quality Committee.
And actually, we have that right here.
Climate change is real. It is a threat to organized human existence. Maybe not in my life. I'll be dead. What am I, 79? Do I have 5 years more? Do I have 10 years more? But most of you people, when I look out here, a lot of you people are going to be alive. So I'm not here about some cockamamie legacy that people talk about. This isn't for me. I'm going to be dead. It's for you.
This is like classic Governor Brown, I feel like. A lot of governors, you know, don't leave the first floor. They don't go up and meet lawmakers where they are. And I think that, you know, his long time in Sacramento, like he knows how to try to twist arms and really get people on board.
And actually, to me, the quote that stood out probably more than anything in that hearing last week was when he said, "I will do whatever it takes to get these bills passed." Jerry Brown wants this deal more than he wants any single provision within the deal.
Finally, in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with John Cox. He is a financier who is running for governor on the Republican side. Marisa, if you had to give him a sentence worth of wisdom to win this race, what would you tell him?
He's not the San Diegan that most Republicans wanted in this race. Yeah.
That's kind of rough, Guy. I don't know if that's advice. I would say that even running as a Republican, it's important to keep in mind what state you're in and which issues matter in this state.
And you also need a clear field. I mean, I think we saw with the Senate race, just having, you know, more than one Republican in the field is enough to make sure that two Democrats end up in the general election. We've already seen Cox. We've seen Assemblyman Travis Allen. And then we've also seen a former Assemblyman, David Hadley, all enter this race on the Republican side. That's three. That's probably enough to make sure that it's a Democrat on Democrat general election.
Marisa, Guy, thank you both very much.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Let's turn now to that John Cox interview. The Republican financier from San Diego has jumped into the 2018 California governor's race to talk about his platform and a little bit of who he is. We're joined now by John Cox. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
You know, I immediately think we Republicans had a hard time getting Kevin Faulkner, the mayor of San Diego, to run. We saw Meg Whitman lost, I think it was $145 million in her run back in 2010. That was a race I covered. Why on earth are you running as a Republican in the blue state of California?
Well, first of all, one thing to remember is that California has had four Republican governors in the last 50 years. Secondly, if you look around the country now, John, 19 states have businessmen. I think they're all men, actually. Doug Ducey in Arizona next door, Pete Ricketts in Nebraska, Matt Bevin's Kentucky, Rick Snyder in Michigan, Charlie Baker.
Well, let me just stop you real quick. Yeah. I don't know too many people who are pointing to Rick Snyder and his handling of the Flint water crisis and saying that is an example that we want to follow.
Well, you're right. That one, and he was, by the way, be the first to admit that he screwed that one up. But I'm also running the changed legislature. So I'm doing both at the same time.
Let me jump in real quick because I was in Ventura County earlier this month and a man approached me essentially with an initiative that is the Neighborhood Legislature Initiative.
Oh, one of our signature collectors?
Yes.
Wonderful.
As I looked at it, though, I started to wonder. You're a candidate who says you want to stem corruption. You want to really kind of bring common sense back into the legislature. But in many ways, when I was talking with this gentleman who was gathering signatures for you, he was denigrating the legislature and saying that we were paying them too much. And I thought to myself, well, if we're paying the legislature too much and if we're denigrating them, why do you expect that we're going to get good, qualified candidates to run for no money? Like, why would people want to step up and be neighborhood legislators?
That's a great, great question, John. And I got this idea from New Hampshire, and mm-hmm. that's what's important to understand
here. Just in fairness, a much significantly smaller state. Yes.
I understand that, but it's not another planet. It's the United States of America, and there's people that look just like you there, believe me. Obviously, I also want to be governor because I want to help move the debate in this state away from the regulation that's strangling business, away mm-hmm. from the taxes that are making life unaffordable here. Partly because we have this political class in Sacramento that really bends to the wishes of the special interests.
You mentioned at the very beginning that part of the reason that you were running is you felt that, you know, the state was ready for a business-style governor, somebody who is able to fire and hire people. We have a president right now who has made a career out of firing people on TV. and I'm curious to begin with, did you vote for Donald Trump?
You know, this campaign is not about Donald Trump.
But did you
it's
vote
about
for
me? I'm not going to – I've already said to – every interviewer about this already. I'm not going to make this about Donald Trump. I'm happy he's president. I support him as president. I'm happy we didn't get Hillary Clinton as president. I'm a policy guy. Mm-hmm. I believe in good policy. And, you know, but you hear this other thing, John. I'm not going to run for governor to try to impose those ideas. I believe the state legislature, building on a consensus approach, ought to be there to decide those issues. I'll weigh in. Certainly, I'll weigh in on what I believe is right, but I want a legislature that's composed of people and bubbles up and consensus-driven ideas coming from the people.
John Cox, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Monday, July 17th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.